beloved radio friends, in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, we greet you again. We welcome you heartily to the ministry of God's precious word and the great theme of our study relative to that wonderful, momentous event, the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ for his saints. Today we shall go to a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We would like to read from verse 50 through 52 the words of the beloved Apostle Paul. The passage that is before us is important to our subject because it states exactly the procedure in connection with the first resurrection of the saints. Here are the words of Paul writing to say, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Beloved, this is not particularly a scripture relative to the rapture of the church in connection with the details that we have studied in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but it does have a relationship toward that blessed theme of the rapture, and particularly it brings before us the rapidity of that event in a most blessed and marvelous way. But let me give you the substance of the chapter before us. The great theme of this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection. It brings before us that Christ is risen from the dead, which is the pledge of our resurrection too. It declares that the dead will be raised in bodies of incorruption, bodies of glory, bodies of power, and with spiritual bodies. It declares that the believer's body will not be in the image of the first Adam, but in the image of the last Adam, the heavenly man. For though we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly, says the apostle. Now as we come to our chapter and the particular portion that we have read, we find in verse 50 the beloved apostle stating, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." I want you to notice something that the apostle declares. He is declaring, and my fellow believer, will you listen to this carefully? He is declaring that those living saints who will be alive at the coming again of our Lord Jesus for his own, they must have a change of body in order to share the incorruptible kingdom of God. Listen to his words. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I wonder, those of you that have been following the study, do you not recall in our preceding study of 1 Thessalonians 4, the Spirit of God wrote that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the resurrected saints. Now the resurrected saints come up with their new bodies, but the living saints must have a change in their present body of flesh and blood. Oh, may the apostles' words declare to us faithfully, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now it raises the question, then, what must happen? What shall take place? Now Paul goes on to say in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. I am revealing something to you," Paul says, "by the Spirit of God, which has never been revealed before. I show you a mystery. And note these words, we shall not all sleep, meaning be taken in death, but we shall all be changed. May I point out again? It just confirms what we read and studied in 1 Thessalonians 4. There will be upon the earth living saints when the Lord Jesus comes. And when that great event of the resurrection of the saints takes place, we which are alive, we shall and must all be changed. Consider with me, please, my beloved. There is the revelation of a change. We must all be changed. The present body that you and I, as believers, have today cannot indeed rise to meet the Lord in the air in this present limited body of flesh and blood. There is to be a change. Now I want you to note something. The rapidity of that change in verse 52. It will be in a moment. Twill be in the twinkling of an eye. The rapidity of it. The rapidity of it. And please note the inclusiveness of it. We shall all be changed. Yes, and once again, there's no signification of a select number, but every living believer will be the object of this wondrous miracle. And as we have it in the Greek text, and from the Greek lexicon meaning, it will cause one thing to cease, and another to take its place. We shall all be changed. Note the rapidity of it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. My beloved, let me mention these two particular expressions. In a moment, and the twinkling of an eye. Strange but uniquely, if you could read the New Testament in your Greek language. I'm not a scholar of the Greek, but I have read enough sufficiently to realize as I look at the Greek text, strange. In the Greek text you have the word atom, which is the word moment in our English version. A-T-O-M-O-S is the word in the Greek text. When I was a boy, the word atom meant indivisible. It could not be divided. My beloved, those of us, may not be many others, that are old enough to remember it, but the few of us that can, we know that when we went to school, the atom was indivisible. And it has not been only since this century, practically, that men have discovered the way to split the atom. One as well very tritely expressed it to say, men have split the atom, and now they don't know what to do with it. They have a tiger by the tail. Yes, my beloved, but please let me say this. The rapidity of the rapture, in a moment, the time will be indivisible. The time will be indivisible. May I go further to say, and you have the apostle writing, in the twinkling of an eye. One has said, I know not whether the accuracy of this is true, and I may be understating it from what I have been told of recent days, that the quickest action of the human body is the twinkling of the eye. And when you and I, the upper eyelid drops and meets the lower eyelid, 'tis in that flash the coming of the Lord will take place, and we saints will be changed to go and meet the Lord in the air. Yes, one can certainly realize the rapidity of the rapture. My beloved, the word of God tells it. The Spirit of God through the beloved Apostle Paul declares it was a mystery. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and what will happen? The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Here again you've got the confirmation of what we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4. That the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Yes, there must be that change. The body in the grave must be changed. The ashes and the dust of those bodies will come out with a new resurrection body. We shall all be changed who are living. May I speak very faithfully to anyone who has some skeptical idea regarding the resurrection? Let me just give this incident that happened to me many years ago. I would say at least 50 years ago. Going into a barber shop, I sat in the chair and the barber began cutting my hair. And then he said to me, "Mr. Bramhall, does the Bible teach that the bodies of the dead will be raised again?" And I answered, "Absolutely." "Well," said he, "my fellow barber over here doesn't believe there's such a thing." And the fellow barber came over. And as he came over and he looked at me and said, "Do you mean to tell me that the bodies of the dead are going to be raised? And the dead bodies are going to have a new body?" I said, "Absolutely." And I looked at him and said, "Listen, fella." I said, "Did you ever have a garden?" "Yes," he says, "I do." "Did you ever plant potatoes?" "Yes," he says, "I have." "All right," I said, "you put an old potato in the ground, didn't you?" "Right." I said, "Did you get the old potato out when you harvested your crop?" "No," he said, "you got new potatoes, didn't you?" I said, "Listen, fella, there's an example of resurrection. God, through death, brings out life. And may I say to you, my beloved friend, there's nothing on the table that you eat. Your vegetables and many other commodities. But what they have passed through death, every seed that goes into the ground to reproduce itself has to go through death. And out of death comes life. My beloved God is a God of resurrection. And he will bring out of the graves all the dead. And he will also change the living saints in that moment. And the corruptible body will put on incorruption. The living body will put on immortality. And then, what an anthem of praise will rise as they thus sing, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" My beloved, what an incident! What an event is coming when the saints shall be raised and the living saints shall be changed and together rise to meet the Lord in the air. And oh, how does it take place? Listen to verse 57 in our chapter of Corinthians. "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, the glorious rapture will be quicker than you can even understand through the victory that the Lord Jesus will give. My beloved, I raise the question, are you ready for the Lord to come? Are you saved? Oh, my heart, beloved and blessed Father, we cry to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. Speak to the conscience and to the hearts of all who are not saved. For if the Lord came today, so many would be left behind. May the Holy Spirit do his work, is our deep and earnest prayer. And for the glory of the Lord Jesus, amen.